It's Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022, and we are live. Thank you for joining us here on Rucksack Radio, hosted by two veterans with one mission and 1,776 reasons. The podcast that is always bold, blunt, uncensored, and full of red, white, and blue truth. And joining us today is Adam Kartner with the Washington Pundit. He's the assistant editor and investigative journalist with them. Thanks for joining us, Adam.
It's good to be with y'all. I'm a big admirer of y'all's work, and I'm a fan.
Cool. Thank you. Well, it's nice to have another voice on here, another perspective. And, you know, there's a lot in the news that we'll get it. We'll jump into some of the more obvious things here shortly. But before we roll into that, you know, a lot of people, I think everybody's always looking for fresh sources for news and information. And we were just talking about that before we went live, the three of us. And so for those that might be watching, whether it's live or when this gets uploaded to YouTube and Rumble and goes on all of the podcast airwaves from Spotify to Apple, iTunes to
Google Play,
Amazon Prime, and everywhere else it goes, Amazon Radio and all those. Tell us, if they're not familiar, a little bit about the Washington Pundit and why that should be a good source of information for them, and maybe highlight, just start there.
All right. The Washington Pundit is a small populist conservative news site. We were started in 2017. We were getting some very good traction on social media. We were developing a pretty good following. I didn't personally start writing for the Pundit until October of 2022. But they broke a story that went viral that, you know, Hillary Clinton and the Clintons had some very nefarious connections with some pedophiles out in Hollywood. Shocking news. There's pedophiles in Hollywood. That's, you know, I'm breaking that nationally right now. After that story broke, a smear piece was published by BuzzFeed News. Calling us QAnon, because anything that has anything to do with a pedophile is QAnon, and smearing our founder. We were simultaneously attacked, and our website was taken down for the better part of a year. Finally, the original owner got sick of dealing with it, sold the property off to a friend of his, who is our editor-in-chief, Nina, the real Dr. E. Find her feed on all of the free speech platforms. And she just saw some of my work on Twitter, some of the news I had broken, and she asked me to start writing for her. And we've been doing that ever since.
Cool.
And we have several.
That's the thing is, and that's what I like about, you know, the work that you do in incredibly thorough work. You know, I've seen the work that you've done. I've had the pleasure of interacting with you offline in some of this, in circles. And that's what to me is really frustrating, is the independent journalists out there, the investigative journalists out there, the small journalists out there in terms of reach. And outlets like the Pundit are the ones that are targeted because they're the biggest threat, right? Because you're not sowing into a narrative necessarily. You're just doing muckraker work. I mean, legitimate, honest, investigative journalism the way it was intended. So hopefully, if those that are watching that aren't familiar with the Pundit become more familiar with them through Adam's appearance here on the show today, and we can help drive some more traffic there too, because it's the same story that happened to Parler on a little bit larger scale and others. Anytime there's a threat to an establishment organization, whether it's media or independent journalists or even people that come forward with news, like the guy that had Hunter's laptop, I mean, they're shamed and threatened and pushed into hiding. I think that guy moved to Europe, if I'm correct. I think he recently moved to Switzerland or something, didn't he?
Are you talking about the guy with the Hunter a Biden laptop?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's, last I checked, he was either in Switzerland. He went to Switzerland. He might be in Sweden or Finland now or something, if I'm not mistaken.
The last interview I saw with him was, I think Tucker had him on maybe a month ago or so. Maybe it was a little longer than that. And he was talking about he thought he was going to have to leave the country. And sure enough, within a couple of weeks, he was gone. And that's just sad because, I mean, the guy, all he did was like, here, I've got this information. It's not mine, but here it is, this concrete black and white, horrible stuff. Horrible, horrible, illegal stuff. And the guy's got to move out of the country.
Yeah, I saw a good meme recently. It said, the biggest prize in journalism isn't the Pulitzer Prize anymore. It's being assassinated by the CIA.
Yeah, right? You know, it's sad, but it is. I think if you're hunted down and canceled and they try to turn your life upside down, that's it's a badge of honor, as awful as it is. To go through that kind of stuff. I mean, I've been doxxed twice horribly, and I'm just a little fish in a pond too. You know, they don't like voices that speak out against the popular narratives. They don't like voices that appeal to thinking and facts and truth. It's sad, but you know what? Go ahead.
Through my reporting, I've developed a pretty good working relationship with another podcaster, Tracy Beans. She runs Uncovered EC, which is a really good independent news site. And the amount of attacks and lawfare that I've had to watch her deal with is just unreal. I mean, you know, she's just fending off lawsuit after lawsuit, and the legal bills just pile up on her. So it's...
I believe it. It's and in the chat, Sarah mentioned, you know, like beating up the libs of TikTok account now too.
Yeah, no, I forget her name, but the woman who is behind the 2000 Mules documentary that's dropping right now. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think she was one of the IRS targets. Remember at the beginning of the Obama administration, they went after you know, people trying to do 501c3s, and she just was trying to be a grassroots, you know, engage in politics, and they sent OSHA after her, they sent every regulatory agency, including the IRS and beyond, and just tried to destroy her, and she just kept on, and she's gotten to the point she is now. I mean, she is a true warrior patriot, and we just have to have people.
That's just, it's sad, and... Mm-hmm.
And if she gets one syllable wrong in that documentary, they'll destroy her.
Yeah. It's pathetic. And that's what's happened to free speech. I mean, we're seeing, you know, now they're just overtly coming out and saying they're going to police it, you know, saying they're not going to, but we know they are. I mean, they've gone from trying to hide their intentions to making their intentions very clear. And as we're seeing, I mean, in the last 24 hours, you've got powerful verified accounts and people out there calling for, you know, the establishment, the Supreme Court to be burned down and things like this. And yet they are immune to any kind of repercussions for that kind of speech or behavior. It blows my mind. Hillary Clinton's Brian Fallon, who's one of her former campaign spokesmen. He was the leader of some dark money group behind the fight against Kavanaugh's nomination, which everything with the left is dark money. It all funnels through, for the most part, Act Blue, as you know, which none of it can really be tracked back to anywhere. It doesn't have to be disclosed necessarily. It's horrible. But he came out and said it's a brave clerk taking this unprecedented step of leaking a draft opinion to warn the country what's coming in a last-ditch Hail Mary attempt to see if public response might cause the court to reconsider. And it goes on, says, all Democrats need to show the same urgency as the clerk who apparently risked his or her career to sound this alarm. Those on the inside know best how broken the institution is. We should listen. It's only broken when it goes against a viewpoint they have, of course. But this kind of, you know, hyperbolic rhetoric, it incites people. And they just... They get away with it time after time after time.
I mean, we can go into all the different theories of why it was leaked, but this is just another example of, you know, the left. I'm not going to say liberals, because these aren't liberals in any stretch of the imagination, but just radical progressives.
Yeah.
And figuratively burning down every institution we have. I mean, one thing that has always been known about the Supreme Court is it does not leak. It's not the White House. It's not Adam Schiff. You know, it's always been, and I'm not a big fan of Bob Woodward. You know, I think his reputation is not well deserved. But he wrote a book, I think it was called The Brethren, about the Supreme Court. And he talks specifically about this, how the justices, no matter what ideology they're on, and their clerks, don't disclose what's going on in the internal deliberations of the court. That way they can freely talk to each other. There have been stories about, I remember reading stories about how Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg were like really good friends. They would vacation together, even though they are on complete opposite sides of the ideology. And here you have somebody for the first time leaking a draft decision to the American public, trying to influence the outcome of the court. And it's going to have a chilling effect on the court moving forward. They're not going to be able to have the open dialogue and debate that they've had in the past. They're going to have to start hiding their opinions from each other and not freely discussing them. And it's burning down yet another institution.
Yep, you're right. And I think it might have been Jonathan Turley, or it was someone else I had heard today. I was listening, I wasn't watching, but I had Fox on the XM on my earbuds when I was walking the dog. And he mentioned, or another legal, high-level legal expert that they have on from time to time, mentioned that the only other time something like this had happened was, I think, in 1919. There was a clerk that leaked an opinion and a dissent to somewhere for money. I mean, he leaked it, he sold it basically to profit on it. It didn't sound like there was any vested interest in how the outcome was. It was just an opportunity of profit. But that's the last time, and it's been more than 100 years since somebody did something like that. You're right. It's you read a lot of articles about the Supreme Court, and they're like a family. They have a certain level of respect. And what a lot of people don't consider is the people that clerk in those courts. I mean, these are people that are intelligent. They're the tops of their classes. They're very intelligent people. They know exactly the gravity of what they're doing and what the consequences are. So for somebody to do this, it's just absolute sabotage. It's disgusting. And you're right, it harms. It harms the institution, and it's going to forever change it from this point forward. And when you think about it, it was just, what was it, 2 years ago when Schumer was out there, I have his quote here, when he was threatening Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, saying, referring to an abortion case and saying, I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Why is Chuck Schumer not in handcuffs? We know why, but I mean, it's rhetorical, but it's ridiculous. If any one of the three of us got on, made a public statement like that, we'd have a knock on the door in a few minutes. I probably got one in the parking lot already, just waiting for me to say something.
Yeah, we'd be sitting in a DC gulag right now,
without any constitutional rights, like so many of those that were locked up after January 6th. It's a completely different set of rules. They talk about a two-tier justice system, and they're right. There's a system of a system of immunity, if you will, for the left and the ruling, many of the ruling class in general. And then there's the normal system of justice that the rest of us are pretty much held to account.
Yeah. So
it's pretty awful. But I hope all we can hope is that the marshal of the Supreme Court, basically their law enforcement guy, figures out who this was quickly. The quicker they divulge that they've figured this out and divulge who it is, the better it's going to be for the process, because the longer it drags out, the more people are going to think that something's being hidden or covered up or there's some kind of conspiracy in it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard several theories on why the draft leaked. There's the obvious. They're trying to put pressure on Amy Coney Barrett or Kavanaugh to flip. Just from watching the courts, I remember the original Obamacare decision, and this was reported at the time and seems to have been confirmed in later reports. At one point in time, the decision was 5-4 to strike down Obamacare. And they had drafted the decisions. The majority, I believe Kennedy had actually drafted the majority decision. And at the last moment, Roberts flipped over to and basically rewrote the law to make it, you know, it's like, well, you can't have the individual mandate. You know, you can't basically say, if you simply exist in the United States and breathe air, that's interstate commerce. We can't allow that to move forward. So he basically rewrote the law twice to make it a tax. But we're at that point with this decision where one person can flip and suddenly the dissenting opinion becomes the majority. Frankly, I'm shocked that Roberts isn't in the majority, because that's kind of been his modus operandi, is mm-hmm. if the decision's going to come down, if the decision's 5-4 and he's, you know, he'll flip to the liberals to not allow the law to go through. But if it's going to go through without his vote, he'll flip to the majority, because being the Chief Justice, if he's in the majority, he gets to write the opinion, or at least he gets to assign who gets to write the opinion. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him flip and take over the majority to water it down to basically nothing, because that's kind of been what he does, is he writes the majority opinion to be so narrowly tailored, it really doesn't have the impact it should have.
He has lost so much credibility among so many people, I think, for a lot of reasons. Some of it's foolish, you know, the conspiracies that, you know, he was on what's his name's Epstein's plane and all that, which is garbage, because I mean, anybody can, the flight logs that they showed with his name on it,
well, I mean,
you
John
can easily
Roberts
cross reference
very unusual name, so I mean,
yeah, it's not many John Roberts in the world, but you know, I in less than 5 minutes when I saw that, I was able to cross-reference, look at the SCOTUS schedules for that time frame and see that he was in Washington, D.C. in arguments, you know, at that time. So it was so obvious. It's like so many people will fall for those kind of things. And that kind of stuff doesn't help us. And that's what drives, not of course it's not right, but that's what drives the idea that we need some kind of disinformation board because of stuff that's so overtly wrong and stupid that gains so much momentum. But false speech, even if it's a deliberate malicious lie, is not unconstitutional. And the SCOTUS ruled on that. I've talked about that case a few times in SBA List versus Dry House in Ohio. SCOTUS ruled on false speech very deliberately. And very clearly. So, and that was just in 2014, I'm amazed that I'm not hearing about that case more in the news, especially from conservative outlets, if you will, because it's a recent case that very clearly states the government shouldn't be deciding what speech is false or not. Just doesn't seem to get mentioned, but it's a prominent free speech case that's recent.
Yeah, I have a meme that I like to send out every once in a while, and it just basically says, the First Amendment exists to protect speech that the government considers disinformation. That's the entire point. Yep. You know, I mean, that's why it's there.
You're right.
The Second Amendment, however, is just for hunting and fishing.
Yeah, exactly. It's a deer wear Kevlar vests.
You cannot buy a cannon. Bullshit. I was at a museum this weekend where it said you could buy a cannon if you wanted to back in the 1700s.
Think about it. At the time of the writing of the Second Amendment, most cans were owned by merchants, marine merchants. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you had piracy of the sea. I mean, you know, private actors owned more cannons than the U.S. government. So when you say, well, you can't go buy a cannon, no, actually, you can go. Well, that's the original intent of the Second Amendment.
you don't even need to have a ship.
The whole reason we have a country is because of the premise of that Second Amendment and the purpose. But back to the speechwriter, and you're right, disinformation. I mean, Madison outright said that in his report of 1800. Went during the Alien and Sedition Acts. We've talked about that a lot recently, too. When the Federalists, who had a strong majority in the government at that time, and Adams had tried to put forth the acts that basically any speech that went against the Federalist narrative, because of the quasi-war we were in with France at the time, that was disinformation, and people were imprisoned and prosecuted for that. And Madison, that's when he flipped to the anti-federalist side and said, whoa, this was not the intent of the Constitution or our amendments, and this is you're overstepping. And the Federalists were wiped out in that next election cycle.
Don't even have to go back that far. You can go back to World War I. There was crackdowns on anybody who opposed the war. There was a individual, I think his name was UGB Debs, who was in prison just for giving a speech against our involvement in the war. I think there was a congressman who voted against the declaration of war, and they tried to use that same tactic that they're using against MTG and Gates, trying to kick him off the ballot, saying he was an insurrectionist. And his opposition to the war was insurrection, so he should not be allowed to run for Congress again. So, I mean,
it comes same tired language they've used for decades and centuries when they want to try to... They abuse the language like that, like they abuse the term racist and Nazi and everything else, and it waters it down to the point where this crying wolf... I mean, people that are... Look what... I mean, it's like the damage that Smollett did, you know, and others. These false cries of racism and homophobia and stuff. It wipes out legitimate concerns because people stop believing it after a while when everything is racism. What's the saying, Phil? You say it all the time. If everything's racist, nothing's racist. Yeah. Right? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, but hey...
Like, we're all active on these, you know, I hate to call them conservative social media. They're just, you know, not censoring the hell out of people. Yep. And, I mean, have you ever been tried to recruited by a white nationalist organization that's supposed, I mean, that's where they would be at. I mean, that we would be the kind of people they'd be trying to recruit.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever just seen rampant racism without, like, I mean, you see it, but I mean, when you see it, you see a backlash from people like, get the hell out of here, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, they're very selective in who they take into their ranks because they know that it exposes them and makes them vulnerable if there's a government informant or something like that gets in.
Yeah,
because they have so, like, the Proud Boys and the rest of them. Yeah. It's not that they just don't take everybody willy-nilly, you know? It's... to that point, you know, this wasn't a part of anything I was going to discuss tonight, but you know who I haven't seen or heard a lot of was that goofy ass Patriot Front group that was all over the news like months ago with their masks and their flags and everything and all dressed the same. They just like kind of went away.
The Joe Rogan tip on that was hilarious. But that's my point is, you know, I mean, if it was this group that was growing and recruiting and pulling people in, I've never heard of them. Had you ever heard of them before, though?
No.
I mean, we would be the kind of people they would, you know, supposedly be trying to reach out to.
Yeah.
You know, two combat veterans that, you know, I've never heard of them.
Well, 100% disclosure here, I'm not exactly white. So I wouldn't fit into the white nationalist groups.
That's jeez. Phil's Native American, technically, he says. Like,
registered. I'm registered. I'm a registered Native American.
I was teasing you. I was just to say more so than Elizabeth Warren, for sure. But then again, I think my dog's more Native American than Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
so.
I think they when she had that genetic test, and she was all proud because she was like 1/2 17% Native American, and that's actually less than like, the average Caucasian in the United States.
Wasn't it like something like 1/1028 or something like that?
It was a crazy small amount, and I just I'm going. You use this platform to get elected, to go through college, to all this just fucking hateful. Yeah.
But
she had said it was like somebody in her family 14 generations ago had a neighbor who had an affair with somebody who once saw a Native American. It was like, oh yeah, free college for me.
Got knocked up by somebody who was 1/8 14 give generations me some of those, ago.
Give me some fried bread.
Oh, fried bread is delicious. But,
just to Jen Psaki back to your comment.
I'll circle back.
Ministry of Disinformation. I mean, that is such. Not only is that a bad political move on their part, it's a bad legal move on their part. Because
We,
being familiar with Parler and everything we dealt with on Twitter, you know, we all know about Section 230 and how it's being interpreted, that basically social media platforms can censor whatever the hell they want and they're completely immune. But the one thing that really keeps the legal challenges from being able to pierce that is... there have been a lot of, you know, lawsuits that have come forward saying Twitter's acting as a state actor. They're doing the bidding of the establishment. And since they don't have any function in the government that's actually doing that, just, you know, like, you know, going to the podium and just, you know, Jen Psaki or whoever saying, well, they should do this, that's not enough. But now if you're going to have an actual ministry of truth, or, you know, board sending out what is what disinformation. It is. If those social media platforms act on that, they are government actors. And so they're really cutting themselves off at the knee here trying to do this. And
it's they're going to get heavier on it now because they're going to be looking for any way they can retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the CDC came out today and announced again that their recommendation for masks on planes and trains and everything else, there was no reason to come out and re-announce that today other than it just knew that it would draw some political ire against the other side. It was a retaliatory statement. It was Biden or somebody else in his administration saying, throw this out there. We got to take our shots too.
The interesting thing I think about that, though, is that they're so laser focused on Twitter because that's what's going on now that they don't realize that everything that they're talking about is actually what goes on Facebook, and the rules are going to apply to both, right? Yep. Or at least they should. Yep. So you want to lock down Twitter, guess what? You're going to lock down Facebook too, but you're going to do it accidentally because you're so focused on Twitter that you're not realizing that this is what's going to happen with your preferred social media platforms.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I had written a piece shortly after January 6th, within 2 weeks of that, I spent days, hours and hours and hours for days reading all the affidavits and the arrest reports for those that were arrested connected to January 6th. And I mean, I did a deep dive into this. I read local news stories on these people, everything. And the amount of people that were arrested that had made a mention on Parler, for instance, was like 3% of those who had been arrested by that point. It was 140 people, I think, arrests they had made by that point, and it was 3% or less had engaged on Parler with anything. The majority of it was communicated on Twitter and Facebook. But those platforms just flew right on by, even despite all of their censorship efforts. But they harbor, I mean, they enabled and allowed more of that unlawful speech, I suppose you'd call it, than anybody else. But they coasted through because they pad the pockets of the politicians. And they're in the lobbyist groups that do so much for them.
And I remember reading in some of the Parler lawsuit filings, they had exhibits where somebody would go on Parler, post, you know, violent content, screenshot it. Well, that's the assumption because it was screenshotted within like 10 seconds of being posted. you know, and they were using this as evidence to take, you know, basically blast Parler off the internet. So it was just apps. And yep. Yeah, I mean, I was on Parler leading up to January 6th. I was active in one of the groups that was going there to protest, and I didn't see any of this content they were talking about. It was obvious nonsense.
I hadn't either. It's wild. I just threw this up. So the left now is advocating for the use of horse medicine, something they were strongly against just a few months ago, but now they're, you know, because it can be this misoprostol. I'm gonna spell that wrong, but that's used for horse ulcers. It can be used to induce abortions. So this is Vice, of course, putting this information out. So suddenly their position has changed on the use of equestrian medicines for individual health. This is a real thing. I thought, like, at first maybe this would be like something the Babylon Bee would put out, but no, this was real.
Wait, see, one's for saving people, the other's for killing people. So we know which side.
Yeah, you got
on.
A point. There you go. It kind of laughs.
There's no scientific proof that ivermectin helps with COVID.
Yeah.
All right, but taking a horse pill to kill a kid is okay.
Yeah, right. I saw this one today. I thought this was great. This woman's serious. She's like a news anchor in Texas. It's like, how counterintuitive can you be in a post? Like, I'm thinking, great, this kills two birds with one stone, you know? Less abortions, and you're not breeding any more morons at the same time, you know? I mean,
I would love to look into how old this lady is, because I've been here for almost a year now, and all I hear about is how ready to go women in their, like, late 30s and 40s are.
Unless you're a liberal. I mean, I don't, like, know what she's angry about anyway.
And this one, like, doesn't want to have any.
just not a fun person. I was saying, I mentioned on Twitter, I think I commented, I think, to her that I didn't think she had anything to worry about. I bet even her dildo threw itself out the window.
Her dildo went limp. Her batteries took the horse pill before going.
It's like, thank you for being a part of the solution, then. If you're not having sex, then there aren't any abortions that need to happen, then. So please go forward with this bizarre logic of yours.
Yes. Please stop having sex.
Just absolutely absurd. Oh, man. I'm telling you, they're nuts. They're all nuts.
Yeah, I've actually seen, I follow another podcaster. His name's Richard Barris. He goes by People's Pundit. He's a pollster.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the most accurate pollster in the country since at least 2014. I think he nailed the Virginia governor's race down to the 0.1%. But wow. He's polled this issue, and, you know, one of the big problems that the Republican Party has is their pollsters suck. You know,
yep.
They're using the same pollsters that are, you know, are telling everybody that, you know, Joe Biden's going to win Wisconsin by 17 points, you know. But he's polled this issue, and it's not nearly as popular as the media makes you think it is. Now the outrage on Twitter will be amplified through their algorithms, and so the Republicans think they're going to see this massive backlash from this decision, and it's just not out there.
I think it was Kilmeade. I saw just a little bit ago on Fox, he was filling it for Jesse, had a new poll out that it, a Fox poll, and more than 60% of people they polled were against that thought abortion should be illegal. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It fits right into what you're saying. I agree. I think And I think the left probably knows that too, but what they're hoping for is the outrage and the destruction and everything else they cause and the madness and the threats and the intimidation they do will swing people, because it worked for them in 2020, right? But I think the one thing that they have to consider, and I'm not advocating anybody get out there and you know, do anything unlawful, but exercise your rights for sure. The Rittenhouse effect is going to come into play if cities start, you know, people start seeing their cities burned down and destroyed again, because people are going to understand that they at least can stand out there and they have a right to self-defense. And the left, I think, it's probably going to stop some on the left from thinking they can just run up or that it's a good idea to run up and harass somebody that's armed. I mean, that's just as a human instinct, that seems like the dumbest thing in the world to me. And no matter what my point of view is, if I'm in a tense situation and I'm unarmed, except for maybe a bag of prison shaving cream or something, I'm not going to go trying to threaten a guy with an AR-15 with a fully loaded magazine. I don't care. I'm just going to, you know what? Because I don't know what their discipline is. I don't know what their mentality is. I'm just going to stay away because, one, maybe they're a combat vet and they have great discipline, you know, or maybe the Rittenhouse was the rare example of a 17-year-old kid with no real, like, you know, no combat experience, anything like that, that had remarkable discipline in how he acted. But the flip side of the combat vet thing is you get somebody that just is carrying arms to defend themselves and has really no discipline or ability to discern what an actual threat is or not, and they just lose their shit and start, you know,
blasting away at everybody.
So either way, I am not going to get in the face of somebody that's got that. So hopefully that also tones the left down a little bit. It's going to be wild. I'm going to do an episode coming up soon reviewing again, staying safe, because
I see a lot of chatter that everyone's expecting another Summer of Love because of this decision. I just don't see it.
No?
I don't see the numbers on the left that are going to be as out. Because, I mean, they're not, like, striking down the ban. Like, abortion is completely banned across. I mean, what they're just basically going to say, I haven't actually read the leaked decision yet. That's probably my bad.
It goes back to the states.
Yeah, they're going to kick it back to the states, which even, I believe Ruth Bader Ginsburg even talked about this. It's like, yeah, it was, you know, not only was it a legally, from the law, a bad decision, but, you know, this is the type of decision that needs to be made state to state through the political process and not just put on the entire country through judicial fiat, you know. And they short-circuited the political debate. And, you know, if Florida wants to ban it, you know, New York wants to, now, I have very strong opinions on abortion. I'm a Catholic.
You're right in the sense that, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I mean, you're absolutely 100% correct in what the ruling means. But I will tell you, in the engagements I've had in Twitter in the last 24 hours, which that's, in one hand, we give it too much credit. In the other hand, we're too passive to it, because that's the noise that sparked all the 2020 madness and riots. The people there that I've engaged, they don't care that it's going back to the states. They see this as a direct threat on women. And some of the other ones that I've engaged with absolutely think the Constitution shouldn't be a thing. And that's the rhetoric that's spreading. And when you get people like Schumer and Warren and these and Sanders,
oh, he was
and these others out
today.
There. Yeah. And that's the thing. They're going to listen to them because they take their orders from them psychologically. I'm worried because they wanted a reason to riot this summer, and they're not going to necessarily, a police shooting isn't going to work for them as well this time because crime is so high anyways that they're going to want to stay away from that. This is going to give them their ticket to riot if they want
but
to.
What foot soldiers are they going to have this time? I mean, do you think BLM is going to riot over this? Do you think Antifa's going to be
angry women?
Antifa, I think absolutely, I think Antifa will.
The people who are outraged about this are the green hair lips of TikTok superstars. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's the people. And those aren't just aren't the type of people who are going to go clad head to toe in black and, you know, try to burn down a courthouse somewhere. So
knitted vagina.
Right. But keep in mind that the people that wanted legitimate reform to policing didn't want all the destruction and burning of cities either. And it was a few bad actors that started buildings on fire, and then that momentum, just that energy, that adrenaline, that momentum just carried.
And more people bought into it. The incident that I was actually surprised there wasn't violence over was when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away and was replaced by Amy Coney Barrett. Because remember, at the end of the Obama administration, they had, or Scalia passed away, and they nominated Merrick Garland, and the majority leader, I forget what his name is, I forget, guy from Kentucky, voice of space, McConnell.
Yeah.
Yeah. He delayed it until after the election. And I think that was longer than the window that between Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the election. So I really thought the left was going to absolutely riot because they lost, you know, one of their top liberals on the court. And, and it was sort of a hypocritical, you know. Now, if you went back and studied history, you realize this was the common occurrence when you're right up against the election. If the majority party is opposite of the president, you know, it happened like 20 times in American history.
Yeah, and it's happened like equally, an equal number of times on both sides. It's just what they do. Why would you confirm somebody that goes against your viewpoint when you have the power not to?
Right. And
you're right.
And this was at the end of the summer of love in the lead up to the 2020 election. I thought cities were going to burn to the ground. I was telling everyone, get food, get ammo, get water. It's about to get nutty. And it just didn't happen. So,
Luckily.
I was thinking the same. Construction workers use a tractor to wrangle 400. Construction workers use a tractor to wrangle 400-pound loose pig in Arizona. Oh, that's the wrong picture. Right?
If you have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours, look at this picture.
Ooh, that is an actual story I had, though.
You got to warn somebody before putting that up.
Same thing, same picture.
It's the same thing.
Authorities in Arizona, it's to the flip side of our show here now, where we have a little fun for the last quarter of it. This was construction workers use a tractor to wrangle 400-pound loose pig in Arizona. Authorities said a 400-pound pet pig escaped from its home and was captured with help from construction workers using a tractor. How do you have a pet pig that's 400 pounds?
Yeah, it's not a pet. That's breakfast.
That's bacon.
For a year.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was tasting delicious to me.
So. That's what I was thinking. That's bacon on legs.
Look at, I grew up from a seedling.
The Pima Animal Care Center said in a Facebook post, the construction workers in Tucson called police when the portly porker was spotted attempting to cross South Campbell Avenue. Mm. The workers used a tractor to corral a pig near a bus stop and contacted police. Police soon arrived on the scene with Pima County Animal Protection Service. They were able to get control of the pig named Rosalia.
They named it.
Contact their owners. Is Rosalia a legal pig? Riley and his owner said they had not been aware that Tucson does not allow for pigs to be kept inside city limits, with exceptions for only purebred Vietnamese potbelly pigs.
Versus the mutt. Yeah. Vietnamese potbelly pigs.
I know people that have chickens and ducks, and I don't know that I've ever known anybody that had a pet pig that large, at least. Within the city. I mean,
they keep it
to each their own, but what do you do with a pet pig? I mean, it's not like it pays. It doesn't play fetch. You're not going to let it jump up on the bed and warm you up.
400 pounds, it would crush the bed.
It probably costs more than the rest of your family to feed.
You can feed your enemies to it. That's a good point.
There you go. Don't give the left any ideas. See everybody with a pet pig. a couple other nutty stories here tonight. That's
still better looking than the last picture.
Texas researchers find dozens of creepy dolls on Gulf Coast beaches.
Jesus, where?
Researchers who came, they've on a 40-mile stretch of Texas beach. Twice a week have been using social media to document some eerie discoveries. Dozens of creepy dolls. Jace Tunnel, director of the Mission Aranis Reserve at the University of Texas Marine Science Institute, said his team surveys about 40 miles of Gulf Coast beach at the reserve twice a week, and they have frequently been finding dolls of various types that were given a creepy aesthetic by their time in the water. So we're actually doing scientific work, but the dolls are a perk.
A perk? What kind of perk? Yeah, we get to do all this wonderful scientific work and have nightmares.
Exactly.
Exactly. This is nightmare.
Jesus.
Someone's got a black eye. Had an abusive doll partner.
If that's a perk, what are you doing to the dolls?
Did they say lonely, 30 dolls? Right?
Lonely scientists.
30, well, let's see. 30 dolls have been found since he started posting the photos. The creepiest ones are the ones that have lost all their hair. The first one we found was a sex doll.
All right, that's a perk.
It was missing the head.
Even better. You don't have to listen to it bitching.
They said they got a lot of followers on their page after posting that one. So this is serious Institute of Science page, and all these delinquents like Phil and I that are following it after they post headless sex dolls they find on the beach.
What'd you do to it?
Donald said the first doll head found in January 2021 was purchased by a member of the public for $35, and the money was donated to a sea turtle rescue program. At least they're doing good with it, right?
Good, honest.
Now the
money.
Dolls are being kept in a bucket to be sold at the reserve's annual fundraising auction.
I hope they have it in October. Jesus. That's nice. Look at that.
This is a 2-year study conducted by the University of Texas Marine Science Institute found beaches along the Texas coastal bend received 10 times the amount of washed up trash as Gulf of Mexico beaches in Florida and Mississippi. So the culprit is a loop current stretching from the Yucatan Peninsula to Florida. The current creates eddies that wash debris towards the Texas coast.
You ever been to the beach in Texas?
No. I haven't actually. No.
I went down to North Padre Island a few years ago. Fucking jellyfish all over the place. How in the world are they doing any kind of research there? Is jellyfish washed up on the beach? Is so many jellyfish going out onto a wharf, out into the water? You can lose count of how many you see. Yeah, it's down near Galveston. Ootsie, that's right.
Yeah, I grew up in Virginia Beach. I remember, it was just chock full of jellyfish in the ocean. You can't even go in the water.
I remember seeing a lot more of them off the coast of North Carolina when I was stationed at Camp Lejeune out there, like Onslow Beach. Used to see at Courthouse Bay area, just east of there on the water, used to see a ton of jellyfish there. But
these days is great white sharks. So,
The instances I've been to the Gulf Coast, I've been down to Gulf Shores and Pensacola Beach and Orange Beach, a few other places down there, but I've seen very few down there. It's weird. Much more on the Atlantic side.
Yep. But yeah, all over the place out there. There were so many of them that when we went to Orange Beach a year or two later, I was nervous about going in the ocean. I'm like, this is still a Gulf. Are there jellyfish here too? But it seems like they're mostly around the Texas, probably start thinning out around Louisiana.
It's got to be something, again, to do with current. Well, they've got their own ecosystem, like everything. So, they thrive and reproduce in the environment that they're familiar with.
You're right, Ootsie. I was looking for somebody to pee on.
Hey, for those of you watching live, thank you so much for stepping in the chat and hanging out with us. If you got questions or anything else you want to you know, for Phil or I or Adam, please throw them in there. We'll be live again on Thursday, Phil and I, the 5th of May. That's Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, right here on Rucksack Radio. You go to rucksackradio.com. You can check out our work there. You can link to our channels. You can link to original articles we have there. You can link to our government tab. Brian, I saw you share that on Parler this week. Thank you so much for doing that. The Our Government tab is a good resource for finding your representatives, for finding, there's links there to dig in and find exactly what your state legislatures are working on. There's links there to find the voting history, not just the voting history, but any correspondence that your elected officials have written. And I recommend that's, you know, at least your, it's hard to keep track of all of them, right? But you know where you live, who your state representative is. You should know who, of course, your congressional representative is. You should be looking at their correspondences that they send as well. Those are all official public records. And you could find those again and go to the Art Government tab at rucksackradio.com. Down near the bottom, there's a link to find their records. Those things are all important. You can also find links there to support the show if you appreciate the material and feel inclined and want to help us continue to do this. We are so grateful for that. I got another story yet here today from across the pond, because the best stories always seem to come from overseas. And yeah, this was
DeSantis has kind of screwed me, because I used to do Florida jokes, but you really can't do it.
The Florida man jokes, yeah, they're easy. We highlight those as often as we can.
Yes.
When they come up, we share them.
Yes, yes,
they're not a reflection of him. They're just a reflection of the clientele there. But so a British MP was caught watching porn in Parliament, and he claims he was looking at tractors. So cue the Kenny Chesney hair.
Then why do you have a raging sexy boner? You look at it, trashes the hard on.
Phil. yeah, it says that a conservative minister who has resigned after he was seen watching pornography in the House of Commons. He said he was in fact attempting to watch something about tractors. And found himself on the porn website accidentally. But then he went back on a second occasion while in Parliament. I don't know what keywords are you putting in for combine.
Oh, there's some. You can put some in there. Trust me.
Okay, Phil. I have questions now. I don't know that I want to ask them.
We have an entire song about that.
Speaking to the BBC Southwest, he said, Neil Parrish is his name. He's the MP for Tiverton and Honiton in Devon. Claims he found himself on the porn website accidentally in the first case, but then went back on a second occasion while in Parliament. Which he described as his biggest crime in a moment of madness.
Well, to be fair, he does look like he gets confused by the computer. So he's...
I'm looking at this guy, and the first thing I think is, it's a major award! It looks like the dad in a Christmas story.
Oh, honey, I think that means fragile.
And fragile.
Fragile. It must be Italian.
Speaking with BBC Southwest, Paris said the situation was that, funnily enough, it was tractors I was looking at.
Yes.
No, sir. Tractors, tractors with a 38 triple D? That's interesting.
There's no need to be lonely at farmersonly.com.
I did get another website that had a very... I accidentally got another website that had a very similar name, and I watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done. You know, didn't even quick turn it off. He was just like, ooh. I wonder what the plumber's going to do.
Sadly, what he was looking at was farm animal porn.
That poor lady's sink. Yeah. Hopefully that plumber helps her out.
Yeah. quick switch over to tractors or some shit like that.
He says, watch for a bit, which I shouldn't have done, but my crime, my biggest crime, is that on another occasion I went in a second time. That was sitting waiting to vote on the side of the chamber. So he just kind of like waiting in line to vote. Got it up. The sound was up too loud.
How boring is Parliament where you're just sitting there, I gotta rub one out before I vote.
it's Britain. A 65-year-old Tory MP admitted that what he did was absolutely, totally wrong, and added, I will have to live with this for the rest of my life. I made a huge, terrible mistake, and I'm here to tell the world. Thank you, sir, for doing so.
What are your thoughts on that? Because sometimes I go back and forth with it. Sometimes I'm like, okay, what do you mean, whatever. But other times it's like, so what? He was just looking at fucking porn at work. Which one of us hasn't done that?
I would rather have him look at porn than take bribes.
Yeah.
Really.
Guy wants to feel just, a little rush at work.
And when it happens to Bill Clinton, it's called a Tuesday. Good one, Brian. Yeah.
That's just the polished answer. I think if he came out and just owned it, he was like, yeah, I was watching porn at work. So what? Who gives a shit? We all do it.
Clinton was reenacting porn. That's the problem.
Clinton was creating his own.
With props. In the Oval Office.
Yeah, that wasn't a set.
What's a card?
That is now. If I were president now, I'd want to be like, all right, where was Clinton standing when this happened? I want footprints, like the Hollywood Walk of Fame with the, you know, the handprints or whatever. I want Clinton's footprints embossed in the carpet in the spot where he was.
Like the yellow footprints at boot camp.
Yeah. And there should be a pair of knees engraved in the floor in front of those footprints.
And a bronze cigar.
Yeah, it's right there. Right there on the side table.
In some place, a glazed blue dress.
Right. I was wrong what I was doing, but this idea that I was here watching it intimidating women. I mean, I have 12 years in Parliament and probably got one of the best reputations ever. Or I did have. I was wrong. I was stupid. I lost my sense of mind. Here we go. Here we go. Here's how it happened. His friend Colin Slade attempted to explain away the first accidental viewing in Parliament, claiming he'd heard he was looking for a brand of tractor named Dominator. Suddenly there's just whips and chains and leather and sweat.
Okay, you punch up Dominator, you're less than 3 clicks away from pegging.
It's getting ready to vote here. Why is there a gimp on the screen? What is going on?
With a 14-inch purple strap on.
Oh, for any agricultural novices out there, Dominator is in fact a type of combine harvester.
Sure, so it is. Look at the length on that thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, well,
Sarah. I said it at the same time Sarah posted it. That's hilarious. The class has a combine called the Dominator. Yes, that's exactly what was going on here. That is so funny. Despite the confusion, Mr. Slade, a deputy chairman of Tiverton and Huntington Conservative Association, added, I believe what he was saying was legit. Well, until his second trip to the site. It's not an accident anymore, man.
You may have subliminally brought up the first season of Black Mirror, Tom. Did you see that series on Netflix, Black Mirror?
No.
Oh, the very first episode is where some prime minister in England gets blackmailed into having sex with a pig on TV. And you've got both of them on here tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the article was authored.
Yeah, imagine if he was like looking for John Deere when he would have stumbled on it.
Bestiality website.
John Holmes. Oops, I mean Deere.
It only ends better. The article was authored by the author of the article is named Tom Wood. wraps it all up in a bow.
The names are perfect.
Hey, thanks again for joining us here tonight. We are at the end of our hour. We appreciate everybody that tuned in live. Adam, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate you having me.
Welcome back anytime if we didn't scare you off. This is usually the flow of our show. We'll talk some serious stuff and then get into some levity at the end because we all need to laugh. The left tried to cancel laughter and fun and humor, and I will not allow that, not on my watch.
You going to do anything special for your Cinco de Mayo podcast I heard you mention?
No, I hadn't thought about that, but now that you mention it, there should be alcohol and tacos. So that might be a part of the show. I might sit here and eat in front of everybody. Tacos and
just and open mouth crunchy tacos. Extra crisp lettuce. I'm
just dropping stuff on my keyboard. But hey, nah. You guys all have a great hump day tomorrow. May the 4th be with you. Right? It's tomorrow. So
Nerd holiday.
That's right. I loved Star Wars, but I wasn't never really like a Star Wars nerd. Okay, I had action figures. I had the Millennium Falcon. I didn't have the Millennium Falcon. I had the TIE Fighter. I think it was. Yeah, those the Stormtrooper ones were the TIE Fighters,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a TIE Fighter. The X-Wing Fighter and the Millennium Falcon were just a little out of the family price range. So we had to go without Hamburger Helper. Couple days so I could get that TIE Fighter.
Back to the beef bouillon cubes.
Again, please check out rucksackradio.com. Adam, you want to shoot a website out for the pundit?
Or yeah, the pundit.
Contacts for yourself?
We are at twpundit.com. Not the full. We lost that URL during the attack. And you can follow us on various social media platforms. If you go into our profiles, you'll see there's a link tree and it'll have all our different, we're obviously on Parler, we're on True Social, we have a Twitter account, I'm not a big fan, but all our social media links for us and our contributors will be under that link tree account.
Good, thank you. It's check it out. Adam's well-read, smart guy. His articles are very well thought. They're very thorough. If you appreciate the kind of content that we usually do and the depth we try to get into when we get our minds into a point, you're gonna appreciate Adam's stuff for sure and the other things that the pundit has to offer. So check him out. It's another source. Another one is taken down by the left. But back up, a good place for information. But, hey, friends, have a great Wednesday tomorrow. Friends, there is no substitute for educated and passionate patriots who value our sacred principles of liberty and take action to preserve them. We are honored to share your company. Rock on, and we will see you on Thursday.
Thursday.